Adventure 32 Dare to enter the city of the gods. Orenda decides to hide, because he doesn't see anything that he can do. Then, Alejandra realizes that she doesn't want her bag of holding to be destroyed, so she says screw this, and flies back to pick up her stuff. Gamio grabs his rocket launcher and hides close to Orenda, as Banrak fires some magic missiles at MBK. Milo gets his tool staff out and snags MBK with the hooked end. As he brings MBK down to about 5 feet, Goroth casts Endurance on himself and runs up. He casts a power down spell on MBK and MBK shuts off. Goroth shouts, I don't know how long it will last, so we better tie it up. Milo and Gordon tie up MBK with all of his eyes pointing forward. Then they mount him to a pole and stick it in the ground, so MBK is looking straight up. As the pole is shoved in the ground, MBK wakes up and says, hey, what are you doing? Let me down. Milo says not a chance, and goes back to the group. They start moving into the tunnel with flashlights and night vision goggles. The tunnel is a rocky tunnel with a dirt floor, but it is supported by a metal infrastructure. As they get about 50 feet into the tunnel, Milo notices some sensors on the two walls. Moving up stealthily, he disables them. Another 50 feet into the tunnel, they notice some more sensors and Milo disables them too. Then they notice what looks like an intercom system on the wall. Ignoring it, they move on and the floor turned into a metal grate. Thinking it's trapped, Milo rolled his globe of traps springing onto the grate, and a mine immediately exploded, injuring Orenda, Gordon, and Amio. They sent Alejandra to scout out ahead. She flew about 50 feet down the tunnel, and the grate stopped. But then she spotted more sensors, and proceeded to disable them. After going 100 feet down and disabling 4 more sensors, a metal wall fell down from the ceiling and blocked the tunnel. Alejandra announced this through the communicators, as Milo and Gordon notice that a large tracked robot entered the open end of the tunnel. Alejandra flew back to the party, as they tried to hide along the walls of the tunnel. The party wanted Goroth to power down the robot, but they waited to see what it was going to do. Then, when the robot got to within 60 feet, it started speaking in many languages. Finally, it said exit or die. Milo nods quickly to Goroth and says okay, we give up. We were looking for a bathroom. Is there a McDonald's around here? The robot doesn't respond, but the party starts moving slowly down the tunnel. Then, as they were passing the robot, they pulled a maneuver, known in a far corner of the universe, as the Iraqi Surrender Gacha, and quickly powered down and disabled the robot. They went back to the grate, and Milo started making a pass through the minefield. At one point he accidentally tripped a phosphorus grenade, but he got out the way. After the fire cleared, he continued and cleared a pass through the field. After the group got to the other side of the field, Milo noticed that one of the sensors was still active. Realizing that this might have been what revealed their presence, Milo disabled it. They make it up to the metal wall, and Gordon says he'll try his plastic explosives. The rest of the group gets way back. Gordon measures up the wall and concludes he will have to use 5 pounds of C4 to blow a hole in it. He places the C4 on the door and starts setting the detonators, when... boom! Blowing Gordon back some 10 feet, but not hurting him too badly, it dented the door severely. Gordon failed to mention he didn't have any experience with demolitions. Amio says damn it. Get out of the way, and launches a rocket at the door, blowing a large hole right through it. They go through the hole just to find more sensors. Milo starts disabling them, and after 150 they get to a door with a card slot next to it. Alejandra immediately tries her electronic lockpick. After a few seconds, machinery sounds start emanating from the door and then the door opens into a small round room. Alejandra flies in and says it's an elevator. Look. They go in and see up and down buttons. Knowing that they want to go up, but thinking that if they go down they might confuse anyone watching, they debate over elevator direction for 5 minutes. Oh please, said Banrak, as she pushed the up button. They go up and in seconds they stop and the doors open to a vast network of clear tubes in front of them 30 feet below them, looks like the ground, but it is actually the top of a plateau. Beyond that they see the mountains. In the tubes ahead of them are many pods flying to and fro. They can see that there are things in the pods, but they can't see any features. They step out of the elevator and its doors close and it shoots down. Now they are on a small tower with nowhere to go. 5 minutes later an empty pod appears that can fit 3 in the front and 2 in the trunk. Amio and Gordon get in the trunk, and Goroth, Orenda and Banrak get in the front. Milo gets in Orenda's lap and tries out the controls, as Alejandra holds onto Banrak. The controls are in a language that Milo doesn't understand, so he puts on his helm of comprehending languages. All of a sudden he realizes that he is looking at numbers, but there is an oddity about them. He realizes it is a base 12 system. So he sees that his is at 08. He tries 09 and they fly off very quickly. They pass up a large tower on the right and a gigantic tower on the left. Within seconds they are at another tower like they just left, but they are on the other side of the plateau. Milo tries hitting 0002 that they can get to a base and they are flung out to the east and down to the surface of the plateau. Once at ground level, they fly forward to the base of a tower. 11 heavily armed and armored robots notice them and approach. As Milo tries to quickly press in any numbers, the console powers down. As the robots approach, the party tries to talk to them. Milo, we're ambassadors from the Dragon Empire. Take us to your leader.
Orendel, we're plumbers.
Robot, Dragon Empire does not register.
Milo, yes, well, we are here on urgent business.
We need to see your leader.
Goroth, we're plumbers.
Robot, get out of the pod.
They get out of the pod, but before they can say anything about Amio and Gordon, the pod speeds off.
Woof. They don't try to communicate with Amio and Gordon over the communicators, so, as not to give them away. They are made to wait there for a few minutes, and as they do, two separate pods come up. Large tracked robots get out of each and move on down the base of the tower. Then, a large pod comes and the robot orders them in. The robot gets in the main seat and they quickly fly off. As they are flying through the city, all but Goroth notice that in another speeding pod there was something that looked like an MBK unit. They end up in the base of one of the towers and the robot orders them off. As they are getting off, Banrak recognizes the style of the room. They are in a room very similar to the rooms from the Tower of Glass. This room didn't have a computer terminal, though. The robot and the pod leave, and they search the room. They find a person in one of the beds. He is in a dirty uniform, but no armor or weapons. He wakes up and says, "Hey. You are here to rescue me?"
"Not quite," says Milo.
They learn that his name is Musa and he is from Frogtown. He is the last of the squad of 10 that was sent to investigate Boggy Bottom. When they radioed back to Frogtown, they were ordered to investigate the City of the Gods. As they got near the shield, they spotted millions of zombies trying to get through the shield, so they went around to the west side of the shield. Once they got there, the shield went down and they started their approach. They were soon mowed down. The gun turrets were much stronger than anything they had back at Frogtown. All but Musa were killed. He was wounded and he passed out. They must have brought him here and healed him. When he woke up, a droid delivered some food, and he decided to take a nap. He said that was just a few hours ago. Alejandra asked if he knew if anything had happened to Frogtown, and he said no. But then he asked her if she knew anything and she claimed ignorance and curiosity. Musa then asks for a gun and says let's get moving. The rest of the group blew him off. Milo wanted to wait to see if they would send anybody for them. Goroth and Banrak went to get some sleep. The rest of the group just called it a night. The next day the group got up and began to strategize. They figured they could take the robot easily and steal his pod. Milo gave Musa a blaster pistol. They waited for the morning food. When it arrived, the pod was way too small for them, so they didn't do anything. After the robot left, Alejandra flew up the shaft and found four more rooms like this one above them. They waited. Later, the next robot arrived, this time with a large pod, and they quickly disabled the robot. Jumping in, Milo had an idea about the numbers. Orendel's suggestion to change the first number. He tried a similar sequence and they went up 50 feet to the next level. Congratulations followed. Then they went up to the next level. Goroth and Alejandra thought they should check this level for more people, so Alejandra flitted around. She opened one door and there was a security robot's back. She quietly flew back to the pod and strongly urged them to go. They went up to the next level. Then again. There was yet another one of those rooms. Going up one more level, they found themselves in a tube crossing. They went up again and were in a computer room with many robots manning the computers. Milo hastily punched in the next level and they ended up in a suite. The pod could not go up any further. The suite was nicely furnished with a bed, two meeting tables, a computer, a bathroom and many windows looking out of the tower. They quickly got out, except for Milo, who wanted to make sure the pod stayed. Milo contemplates disabling it, but then is unsure about fixing it. Banrak says that, if it gets broken, it might get sent back to maintenance. So Milo leaves it. As soon as he gets out, it flies away. Goroth leads Milo over to the computer and gets him working on it. The rest of the party searches the room, and Musa goes to the bathroom. Banrak looks out the window and sees another huge tower not far away. The searchers find nanobots all over the room cleaning things. Milo activates the computer and it asks for Captain Riesling's passcode. Orendel notices a picture on the dresser and says that it must be his. Milo tries his electronic lock pick but it doesn't work. All of a sudden they hear a noise from the tube. Theopod swiftly left the room, and another car was coming. They all get in position, with Goroth and Orendel taking the point. Then the pod appears with 11 heavily armored robots. Milo yells out, "So there you guys are. We waited and you never came back for us, so we came to see Captain Riesling, but the robots don't listen and start getting out of the pod. Will Musa be useful or is he secretly wearing a red shirt? What happened to Amio and Gordon? Will Musa become vengeful if he hears about what really happened at Frogtown? Will they all become robot skewers?" Adventure 33, Exploring the City of the Gods. As the robots start to get out of the pod, Orendel takes the first shot. The robots try to shock each of us, but no one is hurt.
Everyone fires their blasters and chain lightning, but no one is seeing any results. Banrak starts firing magic missiles. The robots try to shock us again, but only minor damage to Milo and Orendo. More blaster shots and magic missiles. Goroth launches a fireball and catches four of them. This time they look hurt, and the pod they came in was damaged in the fireball explosion and leaves the room. Orendo decides to pull out his sword and starts slashing at his opponent. The robots then change tactics. All at once they throw stun grenades in a very well-placed pattern to catch all of us with at least three hits. Mercer is stunned, but everyone else is fine. Alejandra and Milo pull out their holdout lasers, and Milo destroys one with his first shot. Banrak continues to use her magic missiles, and the robot is starting to look really damaged. Goroth casts an empowered fireball on five of the robots and kills the one closest to him and the one engaged with Orendo. Then he immediately casts another fireball on the rest of the robots. Orendo, enraged that he couldn't kill the robot in front of him, moves up to the robot that Banrak was firing at and slashes it to pieces. The remaining three robots throw nausea grenades at Milo, Goroth and Orendo. Milo was able to get out of the way, but Goroth and Orendo start getting really sick. Alejandra and Milo fire lasers at one robot and it goes down. Banrak magic missiles another robot at the back of the room. Goroth pukes and runs over the bed towards the bathroom. Orendo pukes right in front of one of the last robots. The two remaining robots throw barbed web grenades at Orendo and Milo and they get caught in the webs. Alejandra destroys one of the last robots. Milo tries to escape his web but gets hurt by the barbs in the process. Goroth's nausea subsiding, moves over to the elevator and fires a laser rifle at the last robot. Orendo pukes on the web, and almost on himself. Alejandra finishes off the final remaining robot. With combat over, Milo tries to use his escape artist skills to get out of his web and he gets out with no problem. Orendo, his nausea now subsiding, yells for help, because he is covered in a barbed, puked on web, and he really wants to get out. Goroth starts searching the robot bodies. The rest of the group hovers around Orendo, wondering what they can use to cut him out for a couple of minutes. Goroth, hearing enough of that conversation, throws a dagger at them as long as they stop yapping and cut the man out. Banrak does the honors, and the rest of the party starts looting the robots. Goroth gets shocked by one of the robots, as he is looting it, but thinks nothing of it. They find and distribute 17 different grenades throughout the party. Milo tries to wake up Mercer but he is too sleepy. They continue searching the suite that they are in. Meanwhile, time shift. In the trunk of the pod, Gordon and Amio were just waiting. They felt the pod stop for a few minutes, but then it started moving again. After not hearing any voices from the front for a few minutes, Gordon shoots a hole through the back seat of the pod and sees no one up there. Then he blows a hole out the back and looks out. After a while he sees they are going in circles. With both of them feeling a little claustrophobic, Gordon opens up a hole through the back seat large enough for them to climb out of the trunk. Getting up front, Gordon can read the numbers but doesn't know what they mean. He tries 001 and the pod immediately goes underground and they end up in a large room with over 70 other vehicles and 3 maintenance robots. The pod pulls into a parking space and it shuts off. Gordon tries getting the pod going again, but it does nothing. Gordon then calls Milo over the radio. Milo just happened to be sleeping and answers groggily. They start discussing where each of them are and they decide to call again in a few hours, after everyone has a chance to sleep. Gordon goes over to another car and finds that it is shut down, too. All of the pods he finds are shut down, and pressing on the buttons doesn't work. Change of tactics, Gordon goes up to one of the robots and tries to get its attention. It ignores him, so Gordon shoots some of the other cars. It still ignores him. Amio curiously watches a genius at work. Gordon, now quite impatient, blows a hole in the robot with his screamer. The robot assesses the hole and continues on with its work, queuing itself up on the suddenly long list of things to fix. Gordon totally destroys the robot in a fury. Another robot assesses the damage and queues the robot up in its work list. Gordon, shocked that they ignore him, decides they are no help and destroys the other two robots, as well. Amio, tired of this display of machismo, goes to sleep in one of the pods. Gordon gets to work on fixing a pod himself. After a while he gets one looking really nice and clean, but it still won't start. Somehow, he even painted flames on it and put big fins on the back. A couple of hours later, he calls up Milo again, who yells at him to get some sleep. As they are on the radio, another 6 damaged pods come in and park. Gordon gets some sleep. The next morning, Milo calls Gordon and tells him what the plan is. Amio yells that he is hungry, bring some food. They just wait. Going back, restoring temporal continuity. After searching the suite, they find 1 pressure suit, 1 glowwand, many uniforms, 1 medkit, 1 sniffer, 2 infrared sensors, 1 pair of ultraviolet goggles, 13 tubes of quieting gel, Aquamute brand, 5 packets of Spatiate drugs, 2 packets of Spin Dizzy drugs, 4 packets of Dedication drugs, 10 packets of Stim drugs, 5 packets of Stabilizer, 1 inhaler, 1 Yedit, 1 Rune Visor, 1 Throat Dot, 1 set of Morphic tools, 1 Strobe Beacon, 1 foldable tent and 1 C-cell. Milo tries to call a car. Later, a one-person pod appears. They let it go, and later a six-person pod appears. They put Musa in the back and he finally wakes up. They all get in, and Milo pushes 001. Amio was climbing up the tube to see if there was a quicker way to get out. Gordon yells at Amio to get out of the tube. But the pod goes into a room with huge cranes and robots repairing robots. They yell for Gordon and Amio and realize that they are not there. Many other tubes come into the room, and they notice that many robots, like the ones from the Tower of Glass, are being repaired. They try 001 again. The pod backs out and flies around to the end of another tube. This tube has a clear door that is locked. Behind it is a large room with hills and grass and caves, and, over yonder, a family of bears. Curious and confused at the same time, they try 001 again. This time they get to another room like the last, but it is a glacier with a frost giant. They try again. A desert with two fire giants. Trying again, they get back to what looks like the first room they got to. Everyone really starts to wonder what this city of the gods really is. They think this place might be a zoo, alien research facility, or even a repopulation ship. Wondering why 001 doesn't take them right to Gordon and Amio, they try 002 and get a large storeroom with huge crates stacked very high, a large roof-mounted crane, and a computer terminal. Immediately feeling greedy about what could be in those crates, they get Alejandra to go open one of the crates. She unlocks it, but it doesn't open. She says that there is a number on it. Milo goes up to the computer and it asks for a number. Milo punches in the number from that crate and the computer pulls up a manifest. It has clothes, tools, spare parts, and lots of other things. Amio yells over the radio for some food. Milo tells it to get some tools and it asks for an id. Milo pulls out his plot device id of Captain Riesling. But the computer says that Milo doesn't look like the captain. So, Milo tries again but is denied access. The computer warns that another failed attempt will get them in trouble. They get back in the pod and try 002 again for hill giants this time. They try 001 again and get to another storage room. They try 001 again. They get to a room with a long rows of doors that look like crew quarters. They try 103, just for the kicks, and they get to a level with long rows of 10x10 clear cubes with cooling equipment on top. The cubes have humanoid figures in suspended animation in them. There are halflings, humans, half-orcs and many others. Milo tries the nearby computer, but it needs an id. He tries the plot device, but it is denied again. Gordon suggests destroying some of the cooling equipment over the radio. They try to talk to the computer but get no important info out of it. Getting bored with the computer, they get back in the pod, yet again. With a sigh of despair they try another code, and it goes to another storage room. Throwing caution to the wind, half the party starts breaking open crates. Milo really wants to get some tools. After 20 crates, they find one with the tools that Milo wanted. Milo, finally getting some satisfaction, and the rest of the party wondering about his materialistic instincts, get back in the pod for more adventure. Will they go in circles forever? Will Gordon and Amio suffer the same fate as Super Commie and Jelly? Will the GM find another way to put a time shift in the story?